Jesus, our Lord, we thank you for dying for each one of us. We ask that your healing may come not only to us here today, but to all people whom we might be able to reach with your word and service. Amen. Jesus, our Lord, we thank you for dying for each one of us. We ask that your healing may come not only to us here today, but to all people whom we might be able to reach with your word and service. Amen. Pastor Fred Stinkey, our chaplain at Bethesda, was unable to attend today because of illness. And I'm Pastor Herb McCabe, the Director of Electronic Media at Bethesda. And I've been asked to preach in his stead. In Mark's Gospel, there is a section where we find Jesus ministering to quite a number of people with a variety of needs. Some of them have epilepsy. One lady has an issue of blood. The apostles are floundering on the water, and Jesus calms it and comes to their help. A girl dies. He raises her to bed. A number of people with a variety of needs, and among these, we find one who is referred to in our common reference as a rich young man. And he's done just about everything that he can do according to the law. And he comes to Jesus and he says, "Teacher, all of these things I have kept since I was a boy." And Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. This is our text. All of these people referred to in this section of Mark's Gospel come to Jesus for help. And Jesus listens to, heals, raises from death, attends to every need. And no one is turned away. But one of those who sought help comes to Jesus, and then when he is offered the help that he sought, he turns away and leaves. Thinking about that, what if it had been in the reverse? What if when Jesus saw this rich young man coming to him, Jesus thought, "Well, that's the wrong kind of person to help. There's not much I can do for him." And Jesus turned his back on him and attended to other people that he felt more comfortable with. Or what if when the woman reached out to be cured of her issue of blood, Jesus died so that he could not be touched? Because maybe it was the kind of person that didn't look good because of her long enduring illness. What if Jesus had said, well, the young girl is dead, death is final, and not attended to that time? What if Jesus in his ministry turned away from any one person because, well, they just weren't the right kind of person? But Jesus never did. Jesus is no longer walking among us physically. He has the church and he has his people. He has his believers, he has his teachers, he has his ministers to carry on the doing that he has instructed us to complete. And in our busy schedules, especially in the ministry, we don't always have time for everything. So sometimes we have to turn away. We, the representatives of our Lord Jesus, from certain needs, from certain people who are reaching out for help. And maybe if their voice isn't quite loud enough or strong enough, it's easier to turn away with the excuse, I got so much to do, I am so busy. Or some other reason for denying ministry to any particular person or group of people. Pastor Fred Steenke was walking down the corridor at Bethesda about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and a lady, one of the residents of Bethesda, was walking toward him, and he knew she had a new job. He couldn't quite remember what it was, but he knew that she was going to want him to remember what her job was. And as she approached, he finally remembered. And he said, you have a new job. You work for speech therapy. And the girl stopped and looked at Pastor Steenke and said, Pastor, I work for Jesus. You know what was startling about this? Is that this woman has mental retardation. She is a woman who was once considered so low functioning in her mental capacity that she would never be able to have a meaningful life, and certainly would not be able to understand the good news of Jesus Christ, and certainly not be able to share it with anybody, and absolutely not able to witness and edify her pastor. But that's what happened that day. Mentally retarded people are one of those groups of people out there with quiet voices. Sometimes they are so quiet they can't even speak for themselves. They can't even come to a pastor or to a Sunday school superintendent and say, could you please begin a Bible class for me that is at the level that I can comprehend, with the kinds of teaching aids that will enable me to understand God's word and message for my salvation too. And the guardians and the parents sometimes are shy and can't quite approach more than to say, well, Pastor, is there anything we can do? Well, someday we're going to look into that. And then she waits, or he waits, or the parents wait. And years go by, and we hear this story every day, and nothing ever happens. Because there aren't a lot of them. There's just maybe two or three in a congregation. And it takes a lot of time and effort to attend to their needs. I was away last Christmas for about 5 weeks preaching at various places. And this one resident who also attended Good Shepherd Church in Watertown, Wisconsin, and he's now transferred to a group home. But He came into my office the second day I was back after being away for those 5 weeks. He stood at my door and he said, "McCabe, notice you haven't been at church lately." And I started to say, "Yes, that's true," and explain. And he sat down at my desk and he leaned over on the desk and was really carrying on. He said, "Now, just what seems to be the problem?" Do you know why he asked that question? Do you know why he made that special trip to my office? Because he cares. Even though he knows I'm a pastor, he was wondering maybe there had been some crisis of faith. Maybe there was a problem. And he wanted to minister to my need, if indeed there was one. And he was so relieved when I explained the situation, but he cared. And that man had been declared, when he was a tiny baby, incapable of any fulfilling life, any real purpose and meaning to his life. But people reached out to him and nurtured him, not only physically and emotionally, but in his spiritual needs, and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. And it took root and grew. And it made me think, how often have I gone to someone, except when I was a pastor in the congregation, when I noticed they hadn't been in church a while and said, "I notice you haven't been in church lately. Just what seems to be your problem?" Because I haven't had the nerve or the caring, or maybe the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ is not as deeply rooted in my soul and life. Those kinds of things happen in the lives of retarded people because it is so easy and natural for them to share their faith. At one of the group homes in Milwaukee, they were having a Lenten dramatic series each week, the trial of Jesus. And all of the congregation was gathered together, a large congregation, many hundreds of people, and some of our residents from the group home. And they came to that part in the drama where the high priest stands before the people and points to Jesus and says, "Is there no one to stand up for this Jesus?" And Oscar stood up, and he wasn't supposed to, but he didn't care. And he said in that deathly silence, "I'll stand up for Jesus." And there was a gasp. You know, you're not supposed to do that. And the poor actors got all confused, and it took coaching from the staff. And they got back on track finally. But he witnessed to his Lord Jesus because he couldn't stand that there was no one to stand up for Jesus. Retarded people take a little more time, a little more energy, a little special type of ministry. But there are lay people out there willing to do it. We just got a videotape from a number of Christian people in New York. And they were lay people in various congregations who noticed that this facility of 35 severely and profoundly retarded people had no ministry. So they contacted some pastors and said, "We will set up the service, we will design the service according to the kinds of counsel that we will get from people who understand how to work with these people. All you have to do is come in and conduct the service. We will provide the music, we will set everything up," and that's what's happening. That's been established for over 3 years. And in this videotape, you see lay people going around and singing "Jesus Loves Me" and other religious songs with these severely, profoundly retarded people. And there's no real response. They might reach out to the cross when it's handed to them. But there's a growth process that takes a long time. You don't get dramatic effects and changes. But it takes week after week of patience and caring and knowing that the gospel of Jesus Christ is meant for these people also. Those are the kinds of things you have the opportunity for. It's hard to people get lost in congregations because 3 out of 100 people in America are retarded today. But their quiet voices, the families tend to keep them down. Those families perhaps have received so much rejection that they're not even going to church anymore. But know this, that as you expand your ministry around your church, for every 100 people, there are probably 3 people there who have mental retardation and need your help, need your ministry. And you have an opportunity to reach out for them, to them. And when you get one of them to share their faith in a special way, you will have a reward that you don't deserve, but boy, you're going to get it. It's going to lift your ministry and your spirit for the next weeks and months and years. Pastor Sink, he worked for a long, long time with one of the residents of Bethesda. He had echolalia. And whenever Pastor would teach him something, he would simply repeat the words back. How are you today? How are you today? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And this went on for weeks and weeks and weeks and months and months, and it was getting time where they were looking to confirming this man, because he had been in the program for several years. And finally, one day, Pastor Sinti said, forget what I am saying. You just tell me in your own words what Jesus dying on the cross means to you. And he looked at Pastor, and the window was open to the room where Pastor was teaching them, and he went to the window, and he fumbled around in his pocket, and he pulled out a handkerchief. And he held it out that open window, and he waved it in the air, and he said, bye-bye, sin. That was the greatest reward in his ministry to that man that Pastor Sinti had ever thought possible. Reach out to all of the people in your congregation. There are lots of people out there with lots of different needs. But be attentive to those with mental retardation. It is for others to turn their back on the good news, but not for us to turn our backs upon those who seek to hear it. Amen.